Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. 3-0. Doesn't it feel good? We might not be ranked, but we're undefeated. And so I'm not really worried about having a number by our name other than the 3 in front and the 0 behind it, which makes you feel really good. First time since 2015 that Florida State has started 3-0. It's been a long time as a Florida State fan and a program. Just knowing that your goals are still in front of you in late September, that's not something that's happened for a long time. And it's nice to see. It's nice to see the way this team's playing. This is a likable team. They're easy to cheer for. And we're going to touch on that too. But it's just overall, it's just been a nice feeling for this team to continue to find ways to win. And they have another winnable game coming up Saturday. So obviously nothing's a give me. But you feel good about it. Now, they have a tough stretch coming up after that, so hopefully we get some positive injury news. You know, there's been some tea leaves out there, some tweets and stuff, where some pictures maybe of where you think some guys might be okay, but we know Mike Norvell likes to play this kind of close to the vest, and you're probably not going to know a whole lot until Saturday when you see who suits up and who doesn't. But the good thing is, I think with Boston College, just the way that they've been playing so far, I think you can give these guys some rest. I think, honestly, either way, you give Tate the start, because then you have a chance to get your backup quarterback some, and he's your starter right now for however long until Jordan comes back, but you give him another game of experience and maybe a full game, a full week to get ready and prepare and just know what it's like to go through the process as a starter. And I think you can win with Tate. I don't think you necessarily have to have Jordan against Boston College. I'd rather him rest up, which we don't know how long he's going to be out. He might be out, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. I don't know. But he was one of the ones that put out on Twitter that good news, or there was some positive news. And so that's encouraging to see. We'll just touch on a few of the things that we saw over the weekend. It was another stress-free Saturday, as I like to call it, because Florida State, for some reason, we just won't play a Saturday game until at least this week. We're finally going to get back on schedule, finally have a Saturday game, 8 o'clock Boston College back in Doak. But we got to sit around and kind of watch a bunch of the games this weekend in college football and just kind of watch everybody else and how they performed. So we'll touch a little bit on that, and then we'll get into the Louisville game. Not too in-depth, because I don't want to run you guys too long, but we'll just cover some of the notes, some of the things I saw, and just some thoughts on the game. So just getting into the weekend, you know, let me touch on rankings first. So Florida State missed out on being ranked by a few spots. I think they were like 26 and 27 in the coaches in the AP or something like that. They were right knocking on the door. They're almost there. And to be honest, I'm okay with them not having a number by their name yet, because I think it gives you a chip on your shoulder, especially going into Boston College. You know, you don't want to come in here feeling a little high in yourself with it, because you're ranked again for the first time in a long time, and end up, you know, maybe not playing as hard because it's a lesser opponent. I think it keeps you hungry. It keeps that chip on your shoulder. So I'm okay with that. You keep winning. You keep doing the things you got to do. You'll get a name or a ranking by your name before you know it. Honestly, I think at 4-0, you probably should be ranked. You probably will be ranked. A lot of this, too, depends on a couple things. One, you have to have some people lose ahead of you if you're not beating ranked teams. Like, for instance, with Boston College. I'm not sure how much that's going to move the needle in the eyes of the voters, because they are 1-2. They've already lost to Rutgers. I think they got their first win against an FCS team. I think it was Maine this week or something like that. So, you know, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to move the needle, and you need some things to happen in front of you. I'm sure voters consider the injuries that Florida State had this week. They don't know if you're going to have your starting quarterback for without one game, without the rest of the season. They don't know that. I think that had a little bit to go into it, too. On the flip side of things, I will say that it is kind of important, though. I won't completely say that the ranking doesn't matter, because to me it matters for the perception of the program. Because a lot of casual, like maybe recruits or something, who are keeping Florida State on the back burner, you know, these kids have busy lives. They play on Friday night. They probably don't sit around and watch college football games like we do on Saturday. They're on visits and etc. You know, they probably know who won and who lost. They might see some highlight videos on social media and whatnot, but if you're looking through social media and you see an AP poll come out and you see Florida State's 23rd. Wow, that's like they're ranked again. You know, things like that, I think, in the mind of a recruit who, like we've talked about in the past, Florida State's able to get some big names on campus. They're able to draw interest because of the brand, because of the way they recruit, the family atmosphere. And these recruits just want to see tangible progress. And I understand that rankings are a minute thing. They see 3-0. They see Florida State's winning games. They see something special is brewing in Tallahassee. But, you know, I just think it's another thing that shows tangible progress. So I'm not going to say it's not important because it is to a degree. But again, this really just shows just how ridiculous preseason rankings are and just how much goes into it that's not on the field performance. Perfect example, look at the Big Three in Florida. And this is one of the things I wanted to touch on from this weekend. You have Miami clinging to a number 25 ranking and Florida, who's also in the top 25 still, and Florida State, who's not. And if you've watched those three teams play, along with some other teams in the top 25, you can't tell me that they're better. You can't make a case that they're better than FSU. Florida had a little bit of fool's gold. First game of the season, they upset Utah in the swamp. That was a good win for them. I won't take that away. But then you drop a game to Kentucky. You avoid disaster this weekend against South Florida. You know, if they could hold a snap and get the field goal off at the end, they'd be in overtime, and who knows what happens. We can't say much about kicking issues ourselves. But again, you know, hey, they avoided a disaster there. You look at Miami. They beat up on an FCS team. They kind of were in a dogfight in the first half against Southern Miss. And that really, I said this on the last episode, they're going to run into someone eventually who has as much depth as them, who is a Power 5 program, who has athletes like them, and they're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened. They couldn't pull off late in the second half against a team like Texas A&M. Not saying Texas A&M, that's another team I don't think deserves to be ranked. You know, so you just look at things like that. There's no way they're better. To me, Tyler Van Dyke looks pretty pedestrian this year. He's struggling in that new offense. There were some coaching blunders in that game that were just mind-boggling, which a lot of Oregon fans took to social media to be like, oh, man, this is what we couldn't stand at Oregon. So thank you for taking Cristobal off our hands. So Miami fans might have been a little premature thanking us for getting Manny fired, because I don't know that they're in a much better situation. We said this all offseason. Cristobal's a good recruiter. I'll give him that. I don't think he's a great coach, and it kind of showed a little bit on Saturday. They don't really have any standout guys at receiver. Their defense looked a little better, sure, but you went against the 110th-ranked offense, and everybody knows Jimbo is just turtle pace. They really don't put up more than 20 points. So, I mean, how good was that defensive performance? Again, you know, like I said, there's just – to me – you have Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, team like those four or five teams. I don't count Clemson in that bunch anymore. Not this year anyway. But you have three or four teams that, of course, I feel like would probably run Florida State off the field. I understand that. We're not in that place yet. But you look at basically, I don't know, 10 to 12 through 25, and to me, you put them on a neutral field against Florida State on any given Saturday, healthy, of course, with Florida State starters in the game, and I think they can play with any one of those teams. Any one of the, maybe the, like I said, the 10 through 25, I don't see where Florida State couldn't hang with them, because when you look at the product on the field and you ignore the preseason hype, like is what got Miami ranked, they look better. And I mean, that's not being a homer, that's just being honest. And again, I mean, this is not about Miami, but you look at all the rankings they got for preseason hype, for what they were expected to be. Not who they were, but what they were expected to be. Now we're almost to October, and they still don't have a Power 5 win. Now they come back against Middle Tennessee State this week, so they're not going to have a Power 5 win until potentially October. So, you know, you look at things like that. Wake Forest had a tough game this weekend against Liberty. Now I think Liberty's a bit of an underrated team. They're, you know, Hugh Freeze runs a pretty good offense, so they had a one-point win. Liberty went for two late, didn't get it. They almost upset them. So that game, now there may have been a degree of look ahead towards Clemson in that game, because Wake does have them coming up this week. But still, I mean, that game looks a little more winnable even with Sam Hartman. And that was something that I was worried about when he came back. I was like, man, he's still, you know, he's still throwing really good. He's still, I mean, he put up 325 yards passing in this game, a little over 300 in the last one. So I mean, that's still going to be tough, but he also threw two interceptions. They didn't have a great game, so their defense is still not good. So, I mean, Liberty put up 430 yards of offense on them. So, again, and they had four turnovers and were still in the game. So that game, you never know. I mean, it could be very winnable. Clemson was in a dogfight with Louisiana Tech, so you feel a little better about that one. They pulled off late, of course, but, you know, they were still in a dogfight there for a little while. LSU beats Mississippi State this week at home. That was a good win for them. So, obviously, maybe we can stop with the LSU sucks narrative that every other fan base wants to try and, you know, devalue Florida State's win with. I think they're a better team than, you know, people, everyone just said, oh, they lost to Florida State, they're not any good. Well, you know what? I think they would beat Miami. I think they'll probably beat Florida. I mean, they're not great. Jaden Daniels still isn't a very good quarterback, but that win's looking better and better by the week. So I think you felt good about this weekend. You see Syracuse, they struggled against Purdue, kind of showed a little bit of their human side. They've been on a pretty good roll. They are still 3-0, and that game does look a lot harder than maybe you thought. But, you know, they showed a little bit of human side. They had a Hail Mary to come back basically and win in the last second of the game. So you never know. I mean, you're still going to have to show up to play for these games because these teams aren't going to lay over. And now that Florida State has a little bit of momentum, you're going to get a tough shot. They're not going to be like, this is the same old Florida State. Georgia Tech got pummeled this weekend by Ole Miss, 42-0. I mean, I don't even think Jeff Collins can sit down anymore. That seat's so hot. He's got to probably be standing up right now because I think he'll probably be your next Power 5 coach to get fired. You already saw, you know, Arizona State's made a move. Nebraska's made a move. And that'll probably be next. So it's unfortunate for Georgia Tech, but it is what it is. That game obviously looks intimately winnable. NC State had a pretty good game against Texas Tech. They didn't win by a lot, 27-14. But, they moved to 3-0. They're top 15. That game's obviously not going to be easy by any means. They didn't put up 300 yards of offense, only 270 yards total against a team that's really not known for defense. And they also gave up 350 yards. So, you know, again, the whole point of just talking about the other games, because I know this is Florida State podcast, we're not talking about all the other teams. But the reason I bring this up is because, again, if Florida State is healthy, the way they're playing, you can see where every game on the schedule is winnable now that we've seen the type of team that Florida State is. And so that's what I'm going to roll into next. Is in the Louisville game, the first thing I want to talk about is just the overall team aspect that we see from Florida State now. Of course, there's some things in the game you weren't happy with. Of course, there's some things that have to be cleaned up, especially coming into a tough stretch. But there's a lot of positives that you can take away from this game. One of the things we talked about in the last episode following LSU was how the culture had been flipped at Florida State. And I said then that if you couldn't see it, I don't know what you were looking at. But if you needed further proof, this weekend really just shows that everything Mike Norvell has been trying to build, everything that he has been preaching this whole time, all the climb and the mantra that he's put forward. And sometimes you might roll your eyes at some of the sayings and things like that, but the fit in the family and all that. And you understand it, but sometimes it's like, hey, man, you know, let's just win. But you see now how that pays off. And we've seen so many times in college football, in sports in general, where you have a team who is outmanned. And perfect example, Appalachian State, Texas A&M. You have a team who might be outmanned talent-wise, and I don't think Florida State is outmanned by Louisville, but the point is, when you have a team who plays as a team, when you have a team who plays hard as a team, plays for the man next to them, is willing to fight tooth and nail to the end because they don't want to let the next man down. They fight hard for their head coach because they believe in what he's putting forward. That is a recipe for success, because whether you're outmanned or not, if you have everybody who's playing hard for each other as a team, there's no individualism, there's no giving up, there's a lot of fight in this team, you can beat some teams that you're not supposed to. And when you add in Florida State has some really talented pieces who are developing and getting better every game, you know, look at Johnny Wilson, just getting better and better every game, you can have a better season than you thought. And a lot of that is attributed to the success and what Mike Norvell has done. And I think he deserves credit for that. I think he deserves praise for that, for building this program up the right way. And we haven't seen the success on the field in the past, but now we are. And that's a direct result of that to me, in my opinion. I also think that you've seen the floor level as far as talent be raised to the point where you have a couple injuries, but you still have guys who may not be as good as your starters, but they're able to come in and be what you need to still get a win on the road. And this was a really gritty, gutsy performance by Florida State. And this was the type of game where, you know, the last few years, they probably don't win this game. They probably fold and they probably give up. And that's just not the mantra of this team anymore. Because I'm sure most of you, like myself included, when Jordan went down and Verse was already out, and then you saw Tate come in and throw just a terrible interception right before halftime, you're like, oh, man, we had all this goodwill going, and now we're about to flush it all down the toilet. And that wasn't the case at all. And they had adversity by the boatload, and they were just still kept fighting, and they overcame it. And the thing is, when they came out after half, I think you saw a Louisville team who thought they had Florida State on the ropes. They thought they were going to come out, kind of deliver the knockout punch, and go on about their Friday night. But that was totally not the case. You know, Florida State came out in the second half like a junkyard dog, which I think is the mentality of this team, where, you know, it doesn't matter what comes over that fence. We're ready to go, you know. And that's the mentality of a junkyard dog, where they know they're going to be in a fight, and they're not scared of it. And no matter what is in front of them, as long as they, you know, fight as a team and they have each other's back, they can overcome that adversity, which is something we heard Tate Rudemaker talk about in his post-game press conference. He said before that they would back down from adversity, but now they come together and they rally around it because they believe in each other and they believe in the process. And so really that's the ultimate takeaway to me, is to see Florida State go through everything they went through, deal with all the injuries, lose most of your impact players. Because realistically, let's look at Louisville. If you took whoever their left tackle is out, if you took Malik Cunningham out, I honestly don't even know who their backup quarterback is because he never plays. If you took Cunningham out, if you took their whoever their starting defensive tackle is, Yaya Diaby or defensive end, you took their starting tackle and their starting defensive end out. If you took all those guys away from Louisville and kept all the starters in for Florida State, I mean, Florida State would have blown them out. And the fact that, because Malik Cunningham, as we saw, and the dude is dynamic. He's just a dynamic quarterback, and he made plays, and that's what he does. But if you took all that away from the other side of the fence, they don't have a shot. And I believe firmly in that. So the fact that Florida State was able to lose all that they lost and still come out and win just really speaks volumes to this team. And, you know, I think for the first time in years, you really have a likable team. You really have a team that you can rally around, that you believe in, that is likable and enjoyable. You have a staff that you can believe in and you like as well. And I think that has shown in fan support. Florida State had another good turnout in Louisville. I mean, I know it wasn't quite to the level of LSU, but I still heard the War Chant on TV and it sounded good. So that's the thing. You just feel something. You know what I mean? Like in Tallahassee, you just feel like this team's on the come up. You feel like something's brewing. And I was joking with someone earlier. I think that's where a lot of the other in-state teams, that's why they're talking so much smack right now, because I think it's their own insecurities that are speaking. I think that, you know, when you look at recruiting, you have like Miami's, their fans are running their mouth about Florida State, but they realize they have an offense that hasn't scored a touchdown on a Power 5 team, a defense who's given up a lot of points, a coaching staff who might not be as good as they thought. Florida doesn't have a quarterback. They had a few scares after a good win. And, you know, you see the whole time something brewing in Tallahassee. You saw Mike Norvell have another powerful, kind of impactful press conference after the game. And these are the things that pay dividends. There's some important commitments coming up. I mean, if you can land Blake Nicholson and if you can land Hakeem Williams, that's going to get – I mean, the momentum is going to be there for Florida State. So I really just think we need some positive injury news and just to keep winning and keep playing. But, you know, overall, like I said, you just feel like there's something brewing in Tallahassee and you feel like this team is finally on the right track and it's a team that you can really cheer for. So like I said, we're not going to get too deep into it, but some of the nuts and bolts of the game, just when I went back and watched a few of my notes. On defense, you had, obviously, you missed Fabian Lovett. A lot of people, I said before the game that that was kind of a really big loss. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, I think we'll still be fine. And they were. But you could immediately tell you didn't have Fabian Lovett. His presence was missed. You could immediately tell that. And you lost Jared Verse after like 20 snaps. So having those two guys out, it showed. And you got by with the guys that you had, which is great. These next few games, outside of maybe Boston College, you're going to need them starters back. You didn't have a whole lot of pressure on Cunningham. You didn't get a whole lot of push up front on the defensive line. The offensive line kind of was able to push some of the other guys around. And, you know, when you don't have Fabian Lovett, a lot of times Louisville would double-team Robert Cooper. So they were almost able to neutralize, you know, both of your best defensive tackles, one by not being there and one by being able to double the other guy. So you really need to get them back against some of your better competition. I think this week would be a good week to let those guys continue to rest, because Boston College's biggest weakness is, I honestly don't know how they have any offensive linemen left. I think they only had one starter for the year returning. He's out with injury. I think two or three more guys are down with injury. It's just a mess for them, guys, up front on offense. So you can get by. And that was the other thing. Louisville actually has a pretty decent offensive line. They're not a world-beater unit, but they were pretty decent. So I think that showed. Now, I think you can get by this week, but you're going to need Fabian back, and you're going to need, hopefully, you get some positive news on Verse, and you can get him back before Wake Forest. But one thing that we also have to account for is, like I said before, Cunningham is one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in college football. He may not have a lot of pieces around him this year to quite have the success that he has in the past, but the guy's still going to make plays, and you just got to give him props. It's just, it is what it is. Like, there's just some dudes in football who are just dudes. Like, there's no other way to say it. You can bottle him. Look at Jordan Travis. I mean, he's just, teams have to game plan around his ability, and that's something that happens with Cunningham as well. And of course, Florida State has, usually we struggle historically, we struggle with some mobile quarterbacks. That's something that's just kind of always been a thing, and Fuller's not always been great against them. But you don't really have any guys like that coming up. DJ has a little bit of running ability. He's nothing like Cunningham. Sam Hartman's a little better runner than you probably give him credit for, because he did have, I think, 500 yards last year rushing on the ground. So you have some guys who can move, but you're not going to play someone who's as dynamic as Cunningham. So at least you don't have to worry about that. I actually believe, unless there's like some kind of crazy six-year COVID thing, thank goodness you don't have to face that guy anymore. This should be it. Like, he should be gone after this year. Whew, I'm tired of playing that guy. Like, having him come after Lamar Jackson, like, man, that sucks. Like, I'm tired of playing those type of guys. So it's nice to see Florida State get a win against a team that's had your number for the past few years. But again, you just got to give props to a guy who's a dynamic playmaker and made plays. But if you had those starters in there, if you had Verse the whole game, if you had Fabian Lovett, I think things would have went a little different. Because again, the guys who came in, they were very serviceable and they did a good job. And it was nice to see them get some experience, because that's not something that's happened a lot. But we knew, again, coming in the season, that you had something special up front. But from ones to twos, there was for certain a drop-off in talent level and experience. And it did show a little bit. Florida State had 16 total pressures on the night on Cunningham. But 10 of those came from two players, Derek McLennan and Kalen DeLoach. The rest of the entire defensive line had 5. So McLennan had a nice game, but you didn't get a whole lot pressure-wise from the rest of your defensive line. And just to touch on Kalen DeLoach real quick, like, man, that guy's awesome. Like, he has really become a great linebacker. Like, he is such a good athlete. I mean, when he is spot, they use him to spy on the quarterback a lot because he's such a good athlete. And I think we've all been kind of wowed by Tatum Bethune, and he's one of my favorite players on the defense. I think he was probably the most underrated transfer of the offseason, just having a guy like that in the middle of your defense. But, man, when Kalen DeLoach, when he spies or he's after a quarterback or he's blitzing, he's like a heat-seeking missile. I mean, he just fires through the line, And, like, he's fun to watch. So I just love our linebackers so much, watching them play. It's just such an improvement from things in the past. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to Kalen real quick. Like, he's just, man, that guy's a good athlete, and he's fun to watch play. One of the things on defense, and I'm not trying to be negative again. I'm so impressed with this team. I'm so happy with the win they got. But there was obviously a lot of things. You gave up almost 500 yards. You gave up 21 points in the first half. It just looked kind of – it looked like it was going to be another long night, or at least a shootout you weren't sure if they were going to be able to win without Jordan. So there were some things that have to get cleaned up. Now, they did a lot better in the second half, but just one of the things I noticed that killed Florida State in that game was missed tackles. You had 10 players with a 25-plus percent missed tackle percentage. You saw a lot of guys who got in the backfield initially, and then they just slipped out of an arm tackle and broke it for, however long a run. So there was even one for a touchdown where Cunningham just busted through an arm tackle, and he was off to the races into the end zone. So the poor tackling, it wasn't great to see. I mean, again, it's hard to bring Cunningham down regardless, but it was on more than just Cunningham where they had some missed tackles. So you want to see that get cleaned up, but the good thing is that's something that can get cleaned up. You didn't have Amarion Cooper, but for four snaps in that game. I feel good about the safeties in the secondary here. I'm a little concerned about some of the things we see at corner, especially once you get against a better – like, this was a really good quarterback, but you're going to play some teams who have a better passing attack in general. Coming up. Now, not a whole lot, because Clemson still doesn't look like they can throw the ball very well. Wake Forest is going to be one of your best passing attacks. And NC State's offense doesn't look as dynamic as maybe we thought. So maybe not, but I don't know if it's still an injury thing going on with Amarion or not, but you would really like to see him be able to make it back. Not that the secondary had a bad game. It was mostly Cunningham tearing you up on the ground, which is something that was frustrating to watch, but overall, I think the defense kind of got a little bit of a maybe a bad image after the game, because they did give up almost 500 yards, and that's not good. Like, it was over 6 yards a play. That wasn't great. But when you look at the totality of the game, you look at they only allowed Louisville to score on 5 of 14 drives. And so, I mean, you get 14 chances to score, and you only let them hold on. Or you only let them get in the end zone or kick a field goal on 5 of those. That's a really good percentage. And Florida State almost seems to have like a bend don't break type defense, which can be really frustrating to watch. You're just screaming at the TV like, stop somebody. But at the end, when you look at it, and you're holding them when you need to, you're coming up with big plays when you have to. That's something that you can kind of step back and look at the whole picture and say, well, I don't like they gave up 500 yards, but they were playing one of the most dynamic guys at quarterback in the country, and they didn't hold them to scoring on only 5 of 14 drives. Louisville was not good on third down. Florida State got them off the field of a pretty good amount. So that's things that you can look at and be positive. And they did create turnovers. They had 3 turnovers in the game. Both of them, two fumbles, were both forced fumbles. So it's not like it was a luck thing. They forced that. They get credit for that. They had the interception to seal the game. You know, they amazing catch. I mean, amazing catch. To toe-tap that and get it in, like, man, that was an awesome interception. So that's the thing. They get credit for that. They forced those plays to happen. So, again, you got to clean some things up, because maybe a better offense is able to do some things, but Louisville's got one of the better offenses that you're going to face. So I think you get all your starters back, and this is a different game. You know, if you'd have had Fabian Love in the middle, and you'd have had Jared Verse for the whole game, and you'd had Amarion Cooper, I think it's obviously a different outcome, and that can't be understated. But you were still able to get the win even without those guys. As far as offense goes, you know, I really was encouraged by the way they came out. And the defense came out good, too. I mean, they got a 3-and-out. Offense went down and scored right away. It almost looked too easy. I mean, in a sense, you were like, okay, what's happening right now? Like, are we going to blow Louisville out? Like, you know, you knew they would probably get theirs. But, I mean, Florida State went down the field and scored on that first drive. Like, it was absolutely nothing. And, you know, I really hope Jordan is okay. I hope he did tweet out something on social media, on Twitter, about, you know, positive news or whatever his tweet was. I forget exactly what it was, but it was basically saying that there was some good news. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to be out for a week, 2 weeks, you know, 3 weeks versus the whole season, but it's positive news in the same. And so you're hoping you get some positive injury news coming back from QB1 because he had an amazing game. And I know he didn't have maybe a huge stat sheet because he missed half the game, but when you look at, I mean, he started 11 for 11, I believe 148 yards, and a couple touchdowns. The one pick that he did have wasn't really his fault. That wasn't on him. So he just looks so confident. He looks so comfortable running this offense. And he is making just some outstanding throws. And like when you looked at, I tweeted out something on his stats the other day throughout the season. And he's got, I believe it was an over an 11% big-time throw rate, a 0% turnover-worthy play rate. And so you just, he's having an awesome season. Of course, you know, you're like, of course he had to get hurt in this game when he's having the best season ever. But you just hope for positive news. I think, obviously, the one thing you have to touch on next is Tate Rodemaker. I'm so happy for Tate. And I got to be honest, I was one of the ones who was hard on Tate. I didn't think he was the guy. I thought they should have rolled with A.J. Duffy. And, you know, he made me eat a little crow along with everybody else. But the thing about Tate, too, is I don't think a lot of the criticism was unwarranted. He's had probably he's had almost as many interceptions in his career as he has big-time throws in college. So I think when you saw him come out and hit that first interception, it was like, oh, no, here we go again. But when you think about what the situation that Tate has been put in, he's never been put in a good situation. He's never had time, and this is something he commented about the game, he's never had time to settle in. He's never had time to get in rhythm. He's never had time to get in sync with his receivers. And I think he came out, he probably had a lot of nerves, he probably wasn't expecting to get in, and he made some mistakes, but then they rallied around him at halftime, and he was able to make some absolute amazing throws, absolute dimes, which was great to see. Now, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from what Tate did because it is awesome. And I hope we see this going forward. Like I said before, I think you give him the start against Boston College regardless whether Jordan can come back or not. I think you can win with Tate. I think it's a good time to give him experience being QB1 for a week and going through the process of preparing as a starter. But you need to see it in more than one game. I'm not going to go out and just hand him the Davey O'Brien already. When he's made like six good passes, but especially when you have a 6'7" receiver who just took over the game and Louisville did nothing to adjust to a guy who couldn't be covered. And, you know, Burnt Toast Brownlee was the perfect guy to pick on, which is something we talked about. We talked about that in a preview. You use these bigger receivers, you get them in one-on-one, and you got some opportunities, and that's exactly what happened. Just kudos to Tate. It was great to see him play that way. Everybody had talked about how they had seen it in practice and how this guy could be a really good quarterback if he could just turn it on the field in the lights when the lights are on. And he was able to do that this week. So it's nice to see him have a game like that. It makes you feel a lot better over the duration of the season, knowing that you have a backup who can come in and be competent. And now that you've seen him have this type of game, I can only imagine what that did for his confidence, which I think is 90% of the problem of why he hasn't performed well in a game. He hasn't had a chance to have success in a game to go, okay, I can do this. And now he finally saw that, and I think he'll believe in himself more when he gets on the field. Now, of course, you want Jordan back because not only is Jordan having an amazing season, but now your depth is really thin because if something happens to Tate, now you're rolling out a true freshman. So, but again, kudos to Tate. He made some great throws. He just really, really came in at a time when his team needed him and just performed on a level that we didn't think could happen. And so that's really encouraging. And I think if he plays this week at Boston College, he has an opportunity to put together another impressive performance, which is something, again, like I said, you just want to see it more than once. And so, you know, like I said, I think some of the criticism was warranted in the beginning because all you had seen was the bad interceptions. But I think it was, you know, it's fair to give him a chance. And he showed with a chance what he can do. And so I'm super happy for Tate about that. Obviously, looking at receiver, I mean, you just can't understate what Johnny Wilson is for this offense. He is an absolute weapon. you know, he's had some issues with drops in the first couple of games, but it was just like he just took over and he was unstoppable Friday night. And if you can get that out of him on a consistent basis, you really have something here. And I mean, the rest of the receivers, they were a little quiet, but, you know, when you have a guy who's doing what Johnny Wilson's doing, feed him. You know what I mean? Continue to feed him. I like the way that the offense, the game was called. I wouldn't have minded seeing Florida State run the ball a little more. I mean, when you had your backs, you had Trayshawn Ward, who was at 12.6 yards per carry, which, you know, again, shout out to Trayshawn Ward. He has turned into, like, what a story. To go from walk-on to a back who's just showing out the season so far, shout out to that guy. Like, he deserves all the credit for everything, the success that he's having. So, but I would have liked to have seen them maybe take advantage of the backs a little bit more. Trey Benson had 7.7 yards per carry, and I feel like the offensive line had a good game. They were getting push. You know, one thing we talked about in the preview was this was a little bit of an underwhelming, undersized defensive line, and I felt like they could push them around, and they did. Of course, there's some blitz pickup things they need to work on. I feel like there's a few times where and I know there are plays where there are guys who are supposed to come free, and the quarterback has to make a read on that. But there's a few times where they let some blitzers come free, and it just scares you because you don't want to see anybody get injured. And obviously, you know, overall they had a good game. So, you know, I'm just continue to be impressed by what this group is doing. You know, just given the situation, what they've been in the past and what they are doing now, I think it's impressive to see what they've been doing. So they do deserve credit to that. Like I said, I just wouldn't have been mad if they'd have ran the ball a little bit more. The pass was there and it was working and it won them the game. So keep going. But you know, when you have a run game that's working really well too, you know, maybe you feed them a little bit more. That's really my only complaint with the game plan is I just would have liked to see them run a little bit more. But overall, I think the play calling this year has been so much better. I think we're seeing Norvell really scheme some things up on offense. Like that first touchdown to the tight end, it was a thing of beauty, and they schemed it up. And, it was kind of like the North Carolina game a few years ago where they did that, like get everybody going one way. Preston Daniel went to the middle of the field, caught the ball. Like Norvell, and especially Atkins too, and I want to make sure I give him credit too, they are good at scheming people open, and they are good at drawing up some plays. And that encourages me because not only do you see the multitude of formations and the plays that they can run when they have someone like Jordan at quarterback who knows this offense, you can also see them adapt to when Tate came in. He said before or in the post game that some of his reads where he had one read and that was where he was going with the ball. And so I think that was another thing after half was Norvell probably simplified the game plan a little bit to just be like, okay, look, Tate, this is what you have to focus on. You make this read or this read, or you throw it away or you run it. And we saw on his scramble that Tate isn't, you know, he's pretty athletic. He's not Jordan Travis, but not a lot of people are. So he's got some wheels to him. He can move and he can make some things happen. So I do like the game planning. I like the way they play to their guys' strength. I like the way that when they see blood in the water, so to speak, you know, they find out how to attack that and take advantage of those opportunities. When they knew they had a guy in Johnny Wilson who couldn't really be stopped that night, especially when Louisville, like I said, they left him in man coverage. They didn't want to give any help, and Norvell just exposed that until they decided to stop it, and they never did, and it probably cost them the game. So again, you're just seeing so much more variety from the offense. I really like the game plan around what the offense is doing. So again, good game by the offensive line. Good game by the running backs. You know, maybe you can run it a little bit more in the future, but good game by both quarterbacks. And I just hope that we see some positive injury reports. I hope Robert Scott is fine. He went down, did not return. So, you know, I mean, again, we talked about this last episode. You already got two key injuries on the offensive line. You can't afford much more. Now, Darius Washington, I think, he can step in and play at tackle. That's not a concern for me. It's just now you're getting to where you're really going to kind of get into your depth if Robert Scott has to miss any time and anyone else goes down. So really, I think the overarching thing right now is we just need some positive injury news. But I like the game by the offense. 35 points on the road. You know, that's one of the highest totals that Norvell's had since he's been here. You know, that's more points than you scored all season. So the fact that they were able to answer repeatedly and still go out and fight and still score points and still put up 35 points and win a shootout, even without a lot of guys in the game, it was impressive. So good game by the offense. You know, the defense had a few things to clean up, but overall, I don't think it was as bad as people maybe thought it was. And then just the last phase that we have to talk about, unfortunately, we'll just touch on it real quick, is special teams. Guys, I don't have an answer for you other than, you know, unless there's another Aguayo brother running around out there somewhere that we can get on scholarship and get to kicking by Boston College. I just don't know what you do. I mean, they have a walk-on, I believe, kicker who maybe you give a look, but I don't get it. And I don't understand the struggles with field goals. I mean, you should be in college on scholarship. You should be money inside 40 yards. And he missed one from 36 and one from 37. And I just feel like right now you just can't count on him as a kicker. And I think that does influence a lot of your decision-making on offense. I feel like pretty much, unless it's about a 25-yard or 30-yard field goal, if it's doable, if it's manageable, I think you go for it. I think you consider anything outside of a 30-yard field goal is four-down territory. And I know that might come back to bite you in some cases, but he just has, unfortunately, he has not proven to be someone you can rely on. So I don't know if it's a psyche thing, a mental thing. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he needs to get some confidence built. But right now, it doesn't make you feel good. And, you know, Florida State's not really in a position where they're going to pull off in a lot of games. And so that's kind of not a good thing that you're leaving points out on the field repeatedly. And you can't rely on a kicker when you may have to someday. So I don't know what you do there. I will say the kick coverage team still looks awesome. Like, that is one thing I've harped on multiple times this year, is just how good the kick coverage team is. And it does give you a field position advantage. Yeah, on the flip side of that, I don't understand, like, the return game gives you absolutely nothing. We have seen nothing on punt return, nothing on kick return. I think maybe you give another guy a look on kick return. I mean, McCall, he's a dynamic athlete, but he just doesn't really seem to have it as a returner. And that's something that is just kind of, to me, as a returner, you either have it or you don't. You know, like, you're either Greg Reed, who just has that ability, or you're not. And maybe you try someone different. But even on punt return, we haven't seen anything there. So, you know, you shank a punt and just little things like that. So special teams, again, has not really been amazing for Florida State. I mean, you're just lucky it hasn't cost you yet. But they're good at kick coverage and they're good at blocking kicks. I'll give them that. So that's really it on special teams. Like I said, guys, I don't want to be negative in any way. I'm super excited about what this team has accomplished. I'm super excited about being 3-0. But you know, you understand that as what I do covering this team, you have to do both sides of the coin. You can't just always pump sunshine, and you can't always be negative. You have to have a mixture of both. And there were definitely some things that you have to get cleaned up. And because when you get in, you feel like this team is on the verge of something special. And you feel like, of course, you can go in and beat Boston College. But once you get to those next three games, once you go down, you travel down to Miami, once you welcome Florida into Doak later this year, you feel like you can win these games. You feel like these are very winnable, and Florida State is on the verge of doing something we may not have expected, like 9 or 10 wins or something like that. And obviously injury plays a lot into that. And hopefully we hear some positive news. Like, if you can get Verse back, you can get Lovett back, you can get Robert Scott back, you can get Jordan back in a quick amount of time, this team can do some things. But you got to clean up the mistakes, because you're going to run into some teams like a Clemson, like an NC State on the road, where you may not be able to overcome those. So we still have to talk about those too. But overall, I don't want to seem negative, because I'm super proud of this team. I'm super happy with them being able to gut out a win like this. It was just awesome to see, because like I said, in the past, we know this team probably would have given up and probably lost a game. But the fact that they can come together as a team, they can rally around everyone, they can buy into what Norvell is preaching, and still gut out a win no matter how much adversity they faced, this is going to pay dividends going forward, because now they can look at any situation and go, I mean, look at what happened in this game, and we still came back and won. We still did our thing. So I think there's a lot of positive to be taken from this game. Florida State moves to 3-0 with a very winnable game in its sights next week, which is, you know, I mean, that's awesome. You could close out the month of September without a loss, with four being 4-0 and four wins, which would be amazing feeling for Florida State. And I mean, you're 1-0 in conference play. You have, a very winnable game this week, so you could be 2-0 in conference play. And you just feel good about things. And this is the most positive feeling that I've had around Florida State in a while. And I'm just excited. I feel like this is something that we kind of – this is the team that we felt like was in there for so long. And it was, if we could just get them out, like if we could just get this version of Florida State, you know, you felt like they were close in the past. And it just, you never saw it come to fruition. But this is kind of the team that you've been wanting to see. And they're finally putting it together on the field. You know, you just need some positive news now, because injuries was the one thing we said that couldn't happen, because Florida State has just, I feel like, you know, just enough talent that they can play with anybody on their schedule. But it was when you lost some guys that you might have some concerns. But again, like we talked about in the beginning, when you have a team that plays this hard, this unified, and this together, and plays this hard for the staff and believes in that message and holds each other accountable, and you know, when practice comes around, they're pushing each other because they know that's when you can make your teammate better. I mean, you can do some things that people don't expect. You know, you got some teams on your schedule that maybe you didn't think were beatable at the beginning of the season, but if they continue to play like this, every game on the schedule is winnable. And so I'm just really excited about seeing Florida State be able to take down Louisville on the road. And just a team that's, like I said, they've kind of been a thorn in your side the last few years. So it was a hump that they were able to overcome. And, you know, it's unfortunate that all the injuries that happened. But I guess if it was going to happen, you know, right before you get Boston College at home, who's been bad, then, you know, and nothing's a guarantee. I'm not acting like Florida State's about to roll Boston College. I mean, the spread did come out at 16.5. I think that's probably what I would have picked for Florida State to win. I thought this game was going to be around 34-17-ish, given you had all the starters. And I don't know if they know something maybe we don't know. But that line may be a little high if you don't get a lot of these guys back, or they decide to rest a lot of guys, which is something I think we have seen Mike Norvell do on occasion this season, is be overly cautious with injuries, because I think he knows he has something special on this team and he doesn't want to push anything because he wants these guys back for a duration of the season. And so if you can get some positive news this week, I think you can handle your business there. And then you prepare for a big stretch. You got, you know, Wake Forest, you got NC State, you got Clemson, then you get a bye, then you get Georgia Tech, which is very winnable, and Miami on the road. So you can really make some noise in the next few weeks. You know, I'm not worried about the rankings right now, because I feel like if you handle your business, that'll handle itself. I'm just excited to see Florida State at 3-0 with a chance to get to 4-0 before a couple of really big games where you can really put the country on notice that Florida State has turned the corner. And, you know, I think people are finally waking up to that. I think people are finally no longer saying, well, it's just a Florida State of the last few years, because it's not. It's just not. They have more talent. They have more pieces. And this is something that we've said, you know, now we were just like, Mike Norvell is a good offensive coach. He's a good play caller. He's a good head coach. He just hasn't had the pieces to accomplish what he wants, to do the things the way he wants to do them here in the past. And now it appears now that he does. So you can imagine if he can get some really top-end talent, like you start getting a five-star receiver in here, you start getting a five-star running back in here, you start getting things like that, and you know, you let your imagination run wild for a minute, and you think about what can happen in the next couple of years down the road if they can keep hitting in the portal. You know, the more, I think the other thing too that's big is now you're seeing Florida State have a pass game, so you're going to start attracting receivers, you're going to start attracting quarterbacks, because they're going to see Florida State featuring these guys in their offense, which is not something we've seen in the past. So you take all this momentum and you just snowball it and you just keep it going. And it's going to pay dividends in the long run. So we'll pretty much just wrap it up there. And like I said, you're crossing your fingers for some positive injury news. I don't think you're going to see a lot of the guys who are injured play this week just because of who the opponent is. obviously, you know, you can't have a slip up here against Boston College because that would look really, really bad right now. But, you know, I think you can have the opportunity to get the backup some more rest. You can have the opportunity to let some guys heal up and get ready for a big stretch. And you know, like I said, we probably won't know a whole lot with the way Norvell plays injuries, but as long as maybe you can get enough tea leaves to read that it's not season ending or anything like that, which he's usually good about putting that out, then you feel good about your chances going forward. So, you know, another gutsy, crucial win for Florida State. It was huge for this program. It really was. Like, it just kept that momentum going. You beat a team who's been a thorn in your side. You got a road win. You overcame a mountain of adversity. And, you know, you remain in the spotlight. And you remain having positive vibes on social media and around the fan base and around the program. And that's really what you need. And so it was a good win. It was a good win for Florida State. And I know you guys are excited. I know I was excited. I was happy for Tate, and you know, it's just, it feels good to be 3-0. I'll say that. We have the best quarterback in the state. We have the best record in the state, and we're undefeated in conference play with a chance to get another win on Saturday. So it's all good vibes for me, guys. I mean, like we said, there's some things to clean up, but I mean, overall, hey, as long as they keep winning, it doesn't have to be pretty. You know, sometimes you just can't explain it. The year we played Auburn in the national championship. I mean, they had, the kick six, and they had the one that bounced off the Georgia player's helmet. And, like, sometimes you just don't have to explain it. And I want to say that was something that Bobby Bowden said in one of his books I read. Is like, you can be as good a team as you can be out there. Sometimes it just depends on the ball rolling your way, the field goal going through versus not. Sometimes there's some luck involved in it. And not saying it's luck, but if you can find a way to win, it ain't got to be pretty for me. You know, it still all counts in the win-loss column. So just keep winning. Just keep handling your business. And I really enjoy watching this team. It really is a likable team. And I'm just happy for Norvell and his success and the players that all their hard work is paying off. Because I do think they work really hard. And, you know, that the last thing, that's one thing you see about this team is they put in the work and they deserve all the success they get. So I appreciate you guys listening. If you want to join us on social media, like I always say, where you can get in on the conversation with us, we just launched a Facebook group. So if you follow us on Facebook, go ahead and join in there. That way you can stay up to date on all of our content. You can just kind of talk with a lot of like-minded individuals that bleed garnet and gold. So check us out there. I'm going to try and do some more stuff. Coming up, we'll have a BC preview coming up this week. I just kind of wanted to share some of my thoughts overall on this past weekend. And I just appreciate you guys' continued support. This thing is growing a lot faster than I thought. And I really enjoy every interaction I get with you guys. It means more than you know to me personally. So I do appreciate everything. Thanks for listening. I look forward to this Saturday and hopefully moving on to be 4-0. It's not, you know, it's not going to, I'm not going to say any games to give me, but I feel good about this one. But we'll be back with a BC preview later this week. So thanks for listening, and go Noles.